Awakened.
Conscious Conversations Podcast to help you grow and discover who you are, to develop a deeper, more complete side of yourself via conscious talks, self-love, meditation, and by interviewing some of the most inspiring guests on the planet.
ShamanicHealings.earth for more information.
Hello everyone, I'm your host, the Gentle Yoga Warrior, and please welcome today podcast presenter, curious world citizen and change agent, Damianne. So she hosts the popular podcast Changes Big and Small and multiple blogs including d.president.net. Originally from St. Lucia, she moved to Canada at age 12 and moved overseas at 23. She now lives in Prague and has visited over 60 countries, including Sudan, Yemen, Tanzania, Philippines, etc. Damianne enjoys researching, working and technology and solving problems. She's always been curious and loves teaching and learning. She helps people both in her job as a customer support person and as a blogger and podcast host. Her intention for herself and others is for each of us to be able to build the life that we want. So, without further ado, joining us all the way from Prague, please welcome today Damianne, President.
Thank you, Jean.
Hello, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
I'm so pleased that you're here as well. So pleased. So today we're going to talk about helping others build a better life. Being connected with others and sharing the journey rather than just going for what one wants at all costs feels to me a better way to live life. The challenge I feel in helping others is knowing how and when to help, and also believing in what one has to offer can make a difference. Everyone seems to be so busy these days. How can we each make a difference in supporting and helping others to have a better life? In the words of Charles Dickens, no one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of others. Damianne, thank you so much for taking the time today to speak to us. I'm very interested to know, what does helping others build a better life mean to you? And what motivated you to speak about it today?
Yes, I think for me, the big thing is that community is very important. So when I think about helping people build a better life, it means that I want to use my skills in a way that helps other people. So if I've already tried something out, if I've discovered something, if I've learned something, if I can help somebody else shortcut the process, then I'm very happy to do that. Yeah. And I think each of us has those skills that we're very good at, the things, like we all have our zone of genius. We all have those things that we're incredible at. And I can imagine that it's so much of a nicer place to live when we're all able to contribute that. Yeah. To create a better community.
I really like that philosophy, and it sounds so simple, but it's so true. And yet people don't seem to do that, I don't think, these days. But that's wrong. Lots of people do. But I guess, how can we build the awareness that that is so important to people and to inspire them to live by those great morals?
Well, it's interesting because there is so much research and so much conversation happening nowadays about, if you want to see a change, then the change really gets to start with you, right? And so if we say that we want to encourage other people to behave in a certain way, a lot of how we behave invites a different response from people. And so I don't know that it's each of our responsibility to tell other people how they should show up in the world. But I do think there are kind of two elements here. Like, one, living in a way that's in alignment with your beliefs, with your values. And two, asking people for what you need, for what you want. So both of those allows us to be part of community by one, giving, and two, by being in a position to receive. So there's that reciprocity.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. And community can feel a bit disconnected during this time, can't it? Because we're most countries are in lockdown, or we're limited to the amount of people we can see. And are there any tips that you can give people who feel kind of cut off and lacking in community, and how they can get that love? Because to me, community is love.
Yeah, and I don't want to pretend that the online world is the same as being in a physical space with others, because it's not. But I think there is something to being realistic about the situation that we find ourselves in. And so, yes, I do want to meet with people, and it takes a bit more effort and a bit more consideration to do that now during COVID. So we need depending on where we live, we might need to create bubbles with particular people in our lives. And Zoom can be very exhausting, but at the same time, I've also realized that it's important to keep those connections. Like, we might say, oh, it's exhausting to be on Zoom, maybe I just won't do it. But it could also be quite energizing. Mm. So it really depends on your perspective and how you could kind of switch that mindset. When we use social media, there is a difference between just scrolling mindlessly and using it intentionally to connect with people. Yes. And so if you belong to communities online, if you belong to spaces online, we can turn spaces into communities by the way that we interact with it, by inviting other people into our lives and by commenting, by finding opportunities to connect. It doesn't happen just by chance. That's the big problem. The big issue that people face is that it does take some commitment and it does take some work and being intentional.
It's like looking online for things that would be of interest to you, or communities or hobbies that you'd find interesting, and to people that aren't so savvy on the internet or on social media, it's about stepping outside your comfort zone a little bit. So maybe kind of reaching out to someone if there's someone that you find inspiring or instead of, like you said, just scrolling through, because that's quite easy, isn't it, just to scroll through in life. There's not really that much interaction, whereas if you go back to the start of social media, it kind of was, I think, set up in a way for it to be a bit more kind of a community vibe rather than just liking people's posts and things. So what advice would you give people who are struggling with life? You know, I hear so many stories of people that are really finding it quite hard, not just at the moment, but it's just in general. And is there any tips that you'd like to offer?
That's a really broad question, because I think it really depends on the kind of struggle that people are having, right? So if it's a struggle because of some trauma, then you might want to get some help. I think that it's important to get the help that we need and realize that we can't do everything on our own oftentimes. If it's a general feeling of discontent, or feeling that maybe there's something you want that you don't have in your life, I'd say it's helpful to sometimes sit and be silent, to be quiet, to see, to think about, to consider what is it that's actually missing. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that unease about? Because I think so often we can, what we do when we have that feeling is we make ourselves more busy. Or we go into avoidance mode with drinking, or with escaping into television or something, where, or social media, where we don't have to be present. So I'd say that the first thing is to be present. If it's something that's too much, where you can't handle it to be present, then by all means get help. But if it is something that you could be present with, then sit and give it some time and go through processing it, in whatever way works for you. That could be through journaling, that could be talking to somebody that you trust, it could be meditating, it could be writing it down. Some people get scared when you say journaling, and journaling doesn't have to look any particular way. It could be that you take a scrap of paper and you write whatever's in your mind.
Yeah, I do that for my practice, actually. I find it really helps me a lot when my mind's too busy to, because sometimes when I sit on the I meditate every day, but sometimes when I sit on the meditation mat, to start with, my mind can feel a little bit too busy. So I find the journaling is like stream of consciousness. It really kind of like helps. And the thing is, you never have to show that to anyone, do you? So you can just write whatever's bothering you and kind of just get it down on paper. It almost feels like it's like kind of a support tool for those who feel like they need to, clear out all the garbage that we tend to carry in our subconscious and find a more freer way of being.
There's actually some research that shows that if people are carrying a lot of stuff in their head and they have trouble sleeping at night, sometimes we have this resistance towards not writing negative things. Like we resist writing negative things because we think, oh, we're supposed to be positive or we're supposed to overcome whatever challenges we have. And there's research that shows that if you actually take some time and write down all of the things, even all of the negative things that are going through your head, that does give you some relief. For some reason, it takes it out of your head so that you can rest in a different way.
Well, that's a very valid point, a very valid point, because we are taught that, aren't we? Oh, no, you must be positive 24/7. And that's not feeling our full, all our emotions and feelings by thinking, oh, like, of course, it is good to have a positive mindset. But if there is something, I think something can be guilty, isn't it? Can write sometimes as well, feel guilty to write negative things when it's really, it's a process of clearing them from your subconscious and finding a way to kind of be more present. And I think that's a very, very valid point indeed. In your opinion, what is one of the greatest gifts we can give to other people? Again, I know it's quite a broad question, but
there is the concept of the five languages. And so I think depending on the person, they may have a different idea of what's significant to them, what is beneficial to them. But I think if we were to summarize it, it's basically being responsive to the other person's need. Like, it's a great gift when you can actually know somebody well enough to be responsive to their needs and give them something that they need. And it's even lovelier if they don't have to ask for it. Now, I'm not saying that people should not ask for things, right? Like, I certainly think that you should not expect people to mind read and that it's good to ask for what you want and to be clear and communicate. But I do think that our presence, our time, our attention, caring attention is a great gift that you can give to anybody.
That's really nice, Narianne. That's, I don't know. Do you feel that comes from listening? Do you think sometimes we can be so distracted that we don't listen, not just verbally, but just kind of, again, when it comes back to the point of actually being around people, that Zoom has its place, but it's kind of, there is that many ways to listen. And the ability to listen and then by listening to know or feel what that person wants.
Exactly. That's a big part of it. This season, I've been doing some explorations and some conversations with people around relationships, and listening comes up so much. And I've learned myself so many elements of listening that I didn't even think about, like how listening can really be just about being ready. Like, how do you prepare yourself to listen? What frame of mind do you need to be in? Like, how external elements to ourselves could actually affect our not being able to listen. So if I'm tired, I have a different ability to listen than if I'm excited and full of energy. And so I think, that whole listening element is so important for building connection and for building understanding.
Yeah, very true, very true. And I will put details of your podcast as well on the link of this, because I had a look before our interview, and I'm very excited to listen to some of the conversations about having difficult conversations and all that. It looks very exciting. I briefly had a listen, but I'm looking forward to listening to it all the way through. So I know, Damian, that you came from a teaching background and must have a rich array of knowledge in this. But What are your favorite tools for learning, and what would you recommend to help? I know everyone learns differently, but just for learning and stuff.
I think it will be no surprise to you that one of my favorite tools for learning nowadays is podcasts. Because I find that I find that I could find podcasts on so many different topics, and that I can tune in to them in different environments. One thing that, as a learner, as a curious person, that I've found challenging is the balance between consumption and creation. And I know that I learn more when I can actually create, when I can actually do something with that knowledge and not just listen to it. So actually, I think there is different types of different ways of knowing, right? Like, we could know something on a very theoretical level, which is very different from knowing it in a way when you can actually apply it to your life, or you can apply it in conversation or in your work. And so I'd say that I think I learn best when I could actually do something with whatever I'm learning. That's my best way of learning. But in terms of resources, podcast, the web, it's so incredible, all of the things that you can learn if you have an interest in them.
Yeah, I find it very interesting, and just hearing different people's opinions and different people's views, and seeing there is, and I agree, it's a podcast, a great learning tool to for different environments, you know, like so many people working from home, and obviously do concentrate on your work, listeners. I'm not telling them to do your work, but it's kind of nice to have in the background. And then I'm in the house during the day, it's nice to have it on in the background. It feels like a friendly friend, and in many ways a bridge to me between a book and watching something. It's kind of, it feels like in between, because you can like listen to it and still concentrate on something else. So I know, Damian, that you have a daily practice to, I guess, help you navigate through life, and would you like to share that with our listeners and how that's helped you?
I would say the part of my daily practice that, okay, so there is my aspirational daily practice, and then there's my actual daily practice. And so I would say that I aspire to meditate every day, but I don't necessarily meditate every day. But I notice the difference, the improvements when I do get a chance to meditate. What I do ensure that I do every day is move. Because especially working from home, I find that it's so important to move, to go for a walk, to dance a Zumba song, to walk downstairs and check the mail for no other reason than I need to leave my chair. I think if you can find ways that help you stay connected with your body, then that's very useful, because so many of us really get caught up in our minds, get caught up in our brains, but not in the intuition of the body. And so one thing that I'm trying to do is just be more aware of my body. And that can be challenging at times, because there may be things I don't like about my body, but that doesn't negate the fact that there is a body awareness that is helpful to tune into.
No, I think movement is essential for mental health as well, because if we just... Definitely. It's so easy, because I'm going to go out after this podcast for a walk, because I had a long schedule yesterday, so I didn't actually get to leave the house yesterday. So it's kind of, it's so important just to get some fresh air and move. So I think that is it's honoring ourselves, isn't it, by making that part of our daily practice and finding ways. And it's true that we may not always necessarily get time to meditate or do a full Zumba class, but on the days that we don't, we can maybe just sit for a few moments and just be a bit more present, and then just go for a walk around the block, or like you said, go down and get the mail, just something to kind of get us up and moving. And that way we can feel more we're able to help ourselves, and I think when we're able to help ourselves, we are also then able to help others more as well. Yeah,
I think the mental health piece is a big one. It's kind of Like some days I remind myself to just take a few breaths, even if I'm not going to go. I sometimes fall out of the habit of going for a daily walk. Like I still make sure I move every day, but I don't always go for like a 30-minute walk every day. And that's actually one thing that I just recommitted to it this morning. Like I'm like, I really want to go for a walk for 30 days. And 30 minutes, like for me, 30 minutes is not a long walk. There's a park nearby. I do a loop. It's fairly easy. And it's more a matter of getting into routines. Like that's what helps me. If I have a routine, then it gets done. When I start breaking my routines by staying up too late, by changing my, like whatever it is that I allow to disrupt my routines, is when those things fall by the wayside. But since I've decided that walking is important to me, then I've added it back in the morning. So
what would you say is a good way to access our intuition? And are there any tips and things that you could give people on that question?
Hello, dear listeners, and I'm asking for your help now. Please help us to continue making great content for listeners everywhere. So we've been doing the show now for 3 years, and we need help to build it so that we can help even more people. A little bit of inspiration goes a long way, and you just don't know how a episode may inspire someone to make some positive changes for their life. Why do I need your help? Well, you can now sponsor the show for as little as $3 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. If you just go to the show notes, you will see a link there on how to sponsor the show, or go to shamanichealings.earth and look at the page that says sponsor the show, and you can find more details there.
I would say getting quiet. I noticed that I listen to a lot of podcasts, and sometimes I need to pause the podcast, or I need to turn it off for a moment so that I can think, so that I can even hear my own thoughts, so that I can hear what my brain is saying, what my body might be saying. So I think getting quiet is the first step. Like you won't get any intuition if you don't make space for it. If you're just busy all the time, if you're just surviving, then there's really no room for intuition, because there are higher order things that are taking up your attention. But if you can slow down, if you can get quiet, that's when there is a chance for you to tune in to your intuition. And also to have the intention and the attention, to decide, I want to know what I think about that. I want to know, like, if there is something that you're not sure about and you're debating, meditate on that question, or ask that question to yourself. What do I think about this? And sit with it. Give it space.
Yeah, space. Yeah, that's very true. A bit of space, a bit of stillness. It's kind of like letting things just settle and being, because I find for myself anyway, I can't make good decisions when my mind's too busy, and do feel it disconnected from my intuition if I don't kind of allow just to take a deep breath, like you said, that just be where you are right now instead of trying to be somewhere else. So I found it really interesting that you like to travel and have been to so many places, because I feel that's unfortunately it's not something we can really do so much at the moment. But I think it's nice to hear about the travel, because it kind of it lifts people. And so what inspired you to travel so much and learn so much, I guess, from your travel?
First, I started traveling because I just wanted to see more of the world. I remember teaching to students about the seven great wonders of the world, and thinking, oh, I want to see things like that. I want to see what are the splendid things that people have created. And over time, I've realized that I'm even more interested in the splendid things that are available in nature. And so I've had an evolution in my travel, from wanting to see everything, from wanting to see all of the man-made things, to now really having an appreciation for what's natural and what's beautiful that I can find around me. Uh-huh. Just reconnecting to that sense of wonder and excitement has really been a focus area for me recently.
That's wonderful. So you can still kind of like travel without actually physically going to other countries as well. Like at the moment, I'm in the context of at the moment, just finding that wonderment and magic from nature. Because I don't know, like it can feel such a gift, right? To see beautiful things. Even when I met my friend's dog the other day, oh, it was just like I hadn't been around a dog for a while, and it was just, I don't know, just I felt so lifted and in awe of the beauty of this creature and its companionship, because I was looking after it for an afternoon, and it was such a lovely place.
This morning I went for my walk this morning, it was a very gray sky. But I was like, oh, like, look at all the patterns in the sky. It was still beautiful, even though it was gray, and I like sunny days.
Mm.
But even in days that are not sunny, there can be something beautiful. And then I sat in a cafe for some time working this morning, and there were two dogs that had not a care in the world running around the coffee shop. In Prague, people often bring their dogs to the cafe.
Oh.
So they were just chasing each other, and it was quite amusing.
Aww.
One of my reactions could have been to be kind of annoyed, you know, that there are these two dogs running around, but they were so happy that I was able to tune into that and be excited about their excitement.
Oh,
which was
very
nice.
Uplifting. That sounds lovely. Very uplifting and nice, yes, to behold. Lovely. So Demian, what of the places that you've physically been, what was your favorite place, or is that too difficult a question? I'm guessing it's probably maybe your top three then.
Oh yes, I usually say to people that everywhere that I've been, there has been something exciting, there has been something that I could recommend about the place. I think it really has to do with the mindset of why are you traveling, what do you expect when you go to different places. And to me, it's really about being able to enjoy the local flavors, get a feel for the local culture, be able to see what's exciting and different in that place. And I've been able to do that everywhere that I've been. So I'd say that all of my trips have been exciting. Brilliant. Probably India has a special place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's the first place that I traveled on my own outside of living with my family. And I lived there for 2 years. And I was able to visit a lot of different places in India. And there are so many different cultures and natural experiences that you can have, and different traditions, different food. There is so much. There is such a smorgasbord of experiences that I would say I would choose India, and because it will forever hold a special place for me.
Oh, amazing. I've been to India myself, in Naya Dam, which is in Kerala. That's where I did my...
Oh, I love Kerala.
Yeah, I did my first lot of yoga training. We spent most of the time in the ashram, but it was such a beautiful experience to the point that I didn't want to leave. During your travels, what would you say has taught you the most from traveling, and what has touched your heart the most?
I would say the people, of course. People may be more friendly or more outgoing in one place or another. But everywhere that I've been, when I've been stuck, when I've needed help, I've been able to find somebody to help me decode a map or point me in the right direction or help me with translation.
It's exciting as well, I guess, isn't it, traveling? Because it kind of, you have to be in the present moment because everything's new and you need to navigate where you're going, or kind of there's probably not much room to kind of be too much in the head because you're kind of being more in the moment.
That's interesting that you say that, because I think one thing that I have expressly told myself sometimes when traveling, even when I'm moving around Prague sometimes, is look up. And what that means to me is sometimes I'm trying to follow a map, or nowadays instructions on my mobile device, And sometimes just looking at where I am helps me find a place, helps me realize the environment. And so I find myself saying that a lot to myself. Look up. Don't miss where you are right now because you're looking at where you're going or thinking about what's next.
Oh, totally. That's brilliant. It is because there's quite a lot of things up as well. I find that in cities, if you look
exactly.
That's a very wise and valid point. People remember to look up, not just down at your screen or map or whatever it is that you're looking at. What does it mean to you to live a life full of purpose and meaning, and how can we do it more?
To sum it up, to me, living a life of purpose means living in alignment with your values.
Yes.
And I like that conceptualization because I think it keeps things quite broad and quite open, that there is not one path to purposefulness. There's not one path to having a good life. It's really what matters to you. Is it being in community with people, which is where our conversation started? Is it volunteering? Is it working with the homeless? Whatever it is that you've decided is important to you, are you incorporating that in your life in some way? And if you are, you're living a purposeful life. And if you're not, maybe there are some tweaks that you could make that could help you feel aligned and feel like your life has purpose and meaning.
Yeah. I think that's, to me, that's what being rich is. It's not necessarily a monetary thing. It's about having a life full of purpose, and people can start to just do like little things towards that. You know, sometimes as well we get hung up that we have to be like someone famous or I don't know to have a life full of purpose. And I would say possibly the opposite. Whatever you choose, it's in alignment with one's core values and what they want to offer.
The second part of your question was if I have any advice for people for
yes, how thank you.
They live, how they can live a purposeful life. And I would say that don't make it too big necessarily. Don't think, oh, everything needs to, like, I need to give up everything and go to an ashram, or I need to give up my job that pays the bills so that I can be ascetic and poor to be able to, I don't know, show up differently in the world. Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing thinking. We can fall into that trap sometimes of thinking it has to be all one way or all another way. But instead, I would say look for small contributions that you can make on a day-to-day basis. It could be a friend of yours who needs help in some way and is a way that you really want to contribute to the world. It could be a local community organization. Maybe you want to help people learn things and your local community organization is looking for opportunities in a school. And you could teach the children how to, I don't know, make puppets. Like, I'm just making up examples here, but it doesn't need to be grandiose in order for it to be meaningful and purposeful.
Yes, absolutely. Just even a smile, like to someone, I don't know, sometimes if you see someone that's a bit sad, I think even a smile can be like offering kindness and purpose to someone, you know. It's just... sometimes I think we underestimate the value of the little things that we can do, because little things can move mountains, I feel. Damian, I would love to talk about your podcast, because you have a podcast yourself. Maybe you could share with our listeners about that and how they can listen to it, etc.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that. My podcast is Changes Big and Small, and you can visit it to learn more at the website, which is changesbigandsmall.com. You can also find the podcast wherever you're listening to this podcast or any other podcast. So it's available on Spotify, on all of the different platforms, whether you're using Android or Apple. And there are links if you go to my website that will take you directly to the different platforms that you could use to listen. Or you can listen right on the web. The podcast is about helping people take action in their life so that they can live a life of intention, a life of purpose, which connects to what we've been talking about today. So if you're curious about any of that, like I said, the most recent season, the current season, is on relationships. So if you have any questions about relationships or you want to be a guest, please contact me. The previous seasons were on finding clarity for yourself in terms of what you want to do. So we had some episodes about purpose, actually. And I've also talked about self-acceptance and about change, what inspires people to make changes in their life and how you could go about making a change in your own life if you want. So there are a variety of different topics that could be interesting to you.
You know, we've got everything there. I noticed even from how to deal with the holiday season, which can be challenging relationship-wise for people, and all different kinds of things, how to have difficult conversations. So a rich array of information and inspiration there. So also, Damian, you also run several blogs, and I was looking at this morning, and you cover things from book reviews to your travels to other things. Again, would you mind sharing about that with our listeners? Because I think it's beautiful, and the design of it, I found it really lovely to read.
Thank you, Jane. I have a variety of blogs because I have a lot of interest. So deeppresident.net is my main blog, and there you can find links to everything else that I do. I have a blog, spoiltheending.com, where I spoil the ending of the books that I read because I found that I couldn't remember the endings of books. And it's one of my most popular blogs, so I guess I'm not the only one who has that problem. I also blog at journeywithtechnology.com, less often than I used to, but that's mostly for teachers and educators, with resources that they can use in schools, also with some resources for parents. These are the main three that are active right now.
Well, it sounds like you have, it's good to have a lot of interests and things to say. And I would add when about education, my question from earlier, that blogs are very good ways to kind of learn things and access information and learning. So I am mindful that I've kept you here on a while on this podcast, but I would like just to ask you, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
The last thing I would like to say is, thank you so much for having me here. And if people are interested in making a change as they start a new year, as you start a new year, if you're interested in making a change, my invitation to you is, what's the smallest change you can start with that you can have some success with? Keeping with the theme of not having to be grandiose, start something small that you can be successful with, then you can celebrate it and create more excitement for the next action that you want to take.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So great, great words. It's been an absolute joy to have you on the show today, and look forward to reading your blog in the future. But do stay tuned, everyone. We have a meditation inspired by today's podcast. But once again, thank you so much, Damian President, and thank you for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
So this is a simple meditation that you can do to help you be a bit more mindful. So I've been a yoga practitioner for many years, and we can do all the yoga, which is great, all the asanas, which is the one of the limbs of yoga. And then sometimes we forget to then take the yoga off the mat. So the real gem, I think, in all of this is to be able to be mindful. So you're going to sit up super tall. And what a better way to start a new year? And if you're listening to the podcast and it's not a new year, what a better way to start the next moment? So not just a new year, but the next moment. So when whatever time you're listening to this, the next moment, let's make it count. So sitting up tall if you want to, if you're driving, etc., please just press pause and then you can do this meditation a bit later. It only takes a few minutes, so it's not going to take hours out of your day, but start to slow the breathing down. So in and out through the nostrils. Inhale, you feel the abdomen expand. Exhale, you feel as if the abdomen comes in. So in and out. Perhaps you can do an inhalation for a count of five and an exhalation for a count of five. Do less or more depending on your lung capacity, but never make it so you feel out of breath. That is not the right track. So as you inhale, pause, and as you exhale, pause, in and out through the nostrils. And as you sit there and you're in the moment, can you just listen gently to your breath? Perhaps as I'm recording this, or wherever you are, of course, you may hear some background noise. That's fine. Just come back to the breath. I can hear cars coming past, and that's fine. That's they're doing their thing and I'm doing my thing. So inhaling, exhaling through the nostrils. Can you just be? Or rather, allow yourself just to be, observing the breath. And if the mind wants to entice you somewhere, just think, okay, mind, you want to entice me, but for this moment, I'm just going to come back to the breath, perhaps to that space just before you inhale and that space just before you exhale. And it's quite a simple process, but sometimes one that we may want to run away from. But let's just try and do it for the next 60 seconds. So just simply allow yourself to observe the breath and then allow. No matter what noises there may be in the background, just allow. Good. And just gently come back into the moment, back into the room. That may have been hard or easy depending on how your mind is feeling at this precise moment. I would suggest, or rather entice you, to do this regularly, where you just listen to the moment before you inhale and you listen to the moment before you exhale, and whatever thoughts that might come into your mind, like shopping or what you have to do in the future, what you had to do in the past, don't get annoyed yourself, but just kind of just be in that moment. And I think this form of mindfulness is one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself. So thank you so much, dear listeners, for taking the time to listen and support our show today. And if you want any more information on what we have to offer, check out shamanichealings.earth for more information.